There are three things, in a way, that I want to point out very quickly about the significance of the resurrection of Jesus. And the first of these has to be set in a context. Can you imagine what it would be like if you were one of the apostles and it was yesterday, Saturday? The person that you had committed yourself to for 3 years was now dead. They had killed him. And while you may just hate the authorities that brought this about, nevertheless, his message seemed to be something that defeated him. That he was not successful. They won. Now, what would you make of this on Saturday? Well, Judas had gone out and hanged himself. That's what he did. Peter denied even knowing Jesus. So my guess on Saturday, he was weeping bitter tears of resentment and grief that he had done that to the man he loved. But on the other hand, it seemed as if Jesus was a failure. It didn't come to anything. And so on Saturday, they were in great despair. Easy for cynicism to come. We backed the wrong horse. And somehow or another, what is life? What's the meaning of life? We thought we saw it in him, but I guess not. And that's so easy for us to do, even here in this 2,000 years later. It's easy to become cynical about life and say, perhaps there is no purpose to life other than just go out and get what you can and hope your luck holds out and you don't have too much adversity. As the poet Winston Auden wrote, listen to the cynicism in this. The world is an oyster with nothing inside it. Not to be born is best for man. And Shakespeare wrote, life is a tale told by an idiot, signifying nothing. You can't get much more cynical than that. So the first point that Easter means, he's alive. He is risen. Somehow or another, God was working through him, even in that moment on the cross. Now, they didn't understand the cross. As far as they were concerned, for probably the first 10 years of Christianity, the cross was only that done by bad people in Jerusalem who hated Jesus. But they gradually began to see that God was even working through the cross. That's why it is a symbol in every Christian church all over the world today, because they see the ultimate message of God, that he loved them even though they would kill him. Kill me if you will, but I love you still, is the message of the cross. And the power of that love now is alive again on Easter Day. And life is to be understood in terms of that love. That's the meaning of life. And even if things turn out bad in many ways for you, but if you know something of that love and let that love move through your being and you give it to others, then you have found the secret of life. The second point of Easter is one which they made something of right away, and you see it in Paul's letter there. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, but Jesus has overcome death. And so the idea there is that somehow or another, I probably am the oldest person in this room today. I'll be 89 this summer. And I think a little bit about my own dying. All of my close friends that I had when I was 30 years old, all of them are either dead or nearly dead. And so it causes my mind, is there anything after that? And it's easy to come to the conclusion that no, this body is going to disintegrate and go ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And my brain will be nothing but simply soil, its basic ingredients. And it's easy to do that. But the Christians took a message from the resurrection of Jesus, that when we close our eyes in our last moment, that's not the end of the story. There's yet another chapter. So that to the Christian, death becomes not the end, but simply a passage into a different being. Now, we will be very different in the resurrection, as Jesus was different than the historical Jesus. They didn't even recognize him until they heard his voice. And so we have some sort of feeling that somehow or another there will be an afterlife. Now, I want to caution you, be careful about figuring out that you know exactly what it's like to be raised from the dead, because you don't. And all the pearly gates and all of the streets of gold and all that sort of stuff, that's just thinking. That it has no reality in it, no scriptural basis anyway. I one time taught a little Bible class to a group of elderly women. They were probably younger than I am now, but they were elderly. I was 45 when I did this. And we got to a passage about Jesus talking about, he said, a woman had several husbands because they all kept dying and she kept marrying their brothers. And so they asked him, well, in the resurrection, if there is a resurrection, whose wife is she going to be? She's had seven husbands. And he said, in the resurrection, you're not given to marriage. Meaning marriage is a significant event, but it belongs to life this side of the grave and is not known on the other side of the grave. Well, when I said that to this class of elderly women, one of them said, let me get this straight. Are you telling me that when I die, I'm not going to be with Harry? I said, well, that seems what Jesus said. He said, well, I'm not going. And the woman sitting next to her said, well, I'll tell you one thing. If I have to be with Tom, I'm not going. So, yes, somehow or another, the Christian believes that there is a continuance. But don't try to draw too many details about it. There's a lot we don't really know about that. If you want to trust God that somehow or another, the being that he has started to create in you, that's growing in the capacity to love, that being will continue its ultimate goal after death. And you will retain something of your own individuality. Now the third point is this. The prevailing view in the ancient world, particularly in the Greek culture, which was the dominant culture all over the Mediterranean, the main view about what history was doing, what's going on in the world, they viewed it as going in a circle. That everything in life is, you have a springtime, new birth, buds on the tree, summer, then it turns kind of dark, autumn, and then winter and death. And then starts over again. So history is seen as a cycle going around in a circle. Now to the Jew and to the Christian, that history was viewed differently. It was more like a line, a straight line going, much like evolution, just evolving, never the same. It never repeats itself. As one of the philosophers said, you never step in the same stream twice. Because after you take your foot out the first time, that stream is somehow, even though microscopically, it's different. So life is always changing, never quite the same. And so the Christian view here is that what is going on is that God is fulfilling what he is doing in history. And that is viewed as the evolving of a perfect city. It's called the city of God, or the kingdom of God, or, as it's sometimes referred to, as the heavenly banquet. But it is the idea that somehow or another, life ultimately will come to its own perfection because of the work of God and of Jesus. The most beautiful passage that speaks of that is in the book of Revelation. And let me just close by reading that. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. See, new. The first heaven and the first earth had disappeared, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, as beautiful as a bride all dressed for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice call from the throne, "You see this city? Here God lives among men. He will make his home with them, and they will be his people, and he will be their God. His name is Emmanuel, God with them. He will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning or sadness, for the world of the past has gone away." Happy Easter.